Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, hello everybody, and good evening, and thanks for tuning in to listen, and I guess we're going to have, we got a Larry with us, and we are honored to have Augusto Perez with us too, who has had some very interesting, put up a very interesting article. Augusto, are you still with us? Well, I guess he's not. Wait just a minute.
Okay.
Augusto, are you with us?
Yes. Thanks for having me, Stuart.
Oh, no problem at all. Larry, how are you doing up there on the high mountain?
Oh, I'm up here watching the earth changes just keep going around. But I was really interested. Augusto put out a recent newsletter entitled A Shift in Time, and I was really interested in hearing more about that.
Yeah, I think, Augusto, that was a fascinating article. Why don't you tell us a little more about it? Explain it from your point of view. It almost sounds like an alternative reality is developed when the Lord intervenes in time space to work out His master plan.
Yeah. Actually, I have always been a person that pays attention to science fiction. I love
mm-hmm.
science fiction. And I used to watch Star Trek flicks, and you know, I saw the Time Machine a number of times. I saw
mm-hmm.
that other movie, What a Wonderful Life, with Jamie Stewart. I saw that a bunch of times, and many times, you know, I was not able to connect the dots as to the message. And And so this last several weeks, you know, I've been going through it, and when you go through it, you kind of dig a little deeper. And I began to meditate on that scripture from the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, where the Lord, showed Daniel the dream, Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, And so basically it says there that, you know, referring to the Almighty, to the Creator, that He changes the times and the seasons. And He removes kings and sets up kings. And He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And He reveals the deep and secret things. And He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. And so when I started digging into that scripture, into the original text of that scripture, I began to come upon words that were used there that I was not aware that's what it meant. But if you go to the original Hebrew there in Daniel 2, and you read there in verse 21, where he says that He changes the times and the seasons. Of course, that word there in the time is in the Hebrew is the word idan. But that word, yeah, of course, is translated as a time. But another definition in the original Aramaic. Of that language, it means a set time. Okay, so it's not just a time; it's a set time, and so that word there, if you read it in that context, that the Almighty is able, okay, to change or alter. That word there, changeth, it's also It's also a means in the original Hebrew to alter. Okay, so if you use those two words instead of the original, that it for what they're using in the King James, if you use the word alter for change, and the word set times for times, this is how it reads. And he alters, the Almighty, the Creator, alters the set times and the seasons. And so when that dawned on me, it just blew me away. And I began to meditate on that and think about that. And that's how I developed that that article based on the revelation coming from that verse in scripture where the Lord showed Daniel that dream in Nebuchadnezzar. And of course, right after that, it says he removes kings and he sets up kings. And then I started thinking what had just happened in the November election, where he set down a king and he set up a king, and in the form of Cyrus, which that's what he told me that Trump was. He was a Cyrus, and of course that word "set up" there, he setteth up. Again, when you go to the original, what that word in the original is the word "kuom," which is Aramaic. It's very Daniel uses very old Aramaic Hebrew words that are very unusual. Okay, you find them in the book of Daniel. And he says there, he sets up, but that word also means he appoints, okay?
Yes.
Or he raises up, okay? That's what it means. He raises up, he appoints, and so when I read that, it just made all the sense in the world. Now it made all the sense in the world what had happened. And I said, when I read that, I said, there was a time shift. God, he set up, he changed the set times. The set times that were already set in heaven for in the courts of heaven were determined based on the actions of the people here in America, based on the decrees, based on the things that had happened. There were set times for judgments in America. And then the people have been praying for the last at least a year, a couple of years. The people have been praying really hard. I know some groups of believers that have been fasting and praying and repenting. I mean, they have been repenting in every week, every day, in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, when I heard some of those prayers of repentance, Stuart and Larry, and he just made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I didn't know there were people in America repenting like that. And I mean, it reminds me of the repentance there in Nineveh, the repentance there of the Israeli king, that King Hezekiah, that was going to die, and he repented. Turned his face to the wall and repented. And I heard some of these prayers, and it really gave me hope. It gave me hope that things could change in America. And if there were people like that praying, and then, of course, we have been praying. We have prayer battalions that pray and intercede every day of the week. We have someone praying every single day of the week. I think the only day that we don't have a full battalion praying is on Saturday, which is a Sabbath. But every other day, there's somebody praying. And so this has been going on now for at least a couple of years now, 2 or 3 years. And so I had hope. I really had hope. And then, of course, the Lord started dealing with me about Cyrus. He was going to raise up Cyrus to clean America, to clean Babylon, to cleanse the land from the filth. And and then, I never thought that this was possible. I mean, I really thought that America was so far gone that there was nothing that could shift the time. But of course, we know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, it says that if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And so when I began to put all this together, a little ray of hope began to spark up in my heart. And of course, you know, I saw this scripture in Daniel chapter 2, and you know, it says there that after it says that the Lord changes the times, and he changes the seasons, the set times, okay? He alters the set times and removes kings and sets up kings. He raises up kings. And then I began to understand that God had raised up this guy not to make America great again or to make America prosperous again or anything like that, because that probably is not going to happen ever. America will cease to be a world power probably. But I believe that the Lord has given us an opportunity, a window in time. He has shifted time and given us a different timeline, where he gave us this guy, Trump, President Trump, instead of the harlot, Hillary Clinton, which I believe has the spirit of Jezebel, which would have definitely sealed that old timeline and probably made it worse for a sure destruction of America, sure destruction. But I believe that this has altered the timeline based on repentance, based on prayer, based on the prayers of the saints. There has been a shift, and this shift was noticeable. It was noticeable. A lot of people felt it, and I felt it. You know, I felt the feeling that I sensed when this happened, okay, was like that impending doom, that was ready to happen. The darkness was ready to come and set. Somehow it had broken. And it's still there. The darkness is still there. The danger still there. The potential still there. Because it didn't go away. It's just the timeline shifted. And so whenever a timeline... Yeah, go ahead.
So what we have then is a... I guess one could almost call it a delay in judgment because of Trump.
It could be. It could be. It still depends. Like I've said so many times, if I firmly believe that if something happens to Trump, let's say they manage to remove him, they manage to take him out, okay, to take a dirt nap, or something similar. If that happens, and if that happens, that means that they have broken through the prayers, the prayer chain. They have broken through the prayer curtain. They have broken through the firewall that is around him. If that happens, I really believe that we could very easily slip back into that old timeline, and not just go back to that old timeline. It probably is going to be worse now if we go back to that old timeline. It's going to be worse, a worse timeline, more catastrophic. But I do believe that when something like this happens, it shifts the timeline, which means the event or events, plural, is moved further down the road. And,
right.
And you know, we may still get there, but the way we get there has been shifted, has been changed.
Okay,
and
could
so,
I ask you another question?
Sure, absolutely.
If times and seasons, would that have anything to do with the feast of the Lord?
Could I believe
it apply
so.
To the feast of the Lord?
I believe so. I absolutely
okay, so,
believe so.
So what I'm getting at is, you may remember the sandstorm, the divine sandstorm that took hit Israel in 2015, and it delayed Feast of Trumpets 2 days.
Wow.
Now, if you took those 2 days and you applied it as years,
mm-hmm.
it was a 2-year delay.
That's interesting. Yeah, now, I see that, yeah.
So now, if Obama and the Pope shook hands, as you know, on September 23rd, 2015, and if there was a 2-year delay, we arrive at September 23rd, 2017, as maybe a time when things really begin to happen and the time shifts back. I agree with you 100%. I think that if Trump is gotten out of office, the communists, and this is basically a communist coup, and I want to get into that with you because you lived through that. That would make them so furious and so angry that they would unleash hell on earth to the American people, I would think.
Yes.
And at that point, the FEMA camps would be wide open and the extermination process begin, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they are furious because, you know, this event that happened, of course, in November in America, and before that,
yes.
Brexit, England leaving the EU, those two events were just a 1-2 punch that knocked down momentarily the globalists, and they were stunned. I mean, they were really stunned there for for a few moments, and then they came on. I mean, they went right back on the attack, and they are just furious. And you can see the way that they talk in the mainstream media against Trump. I mean, they hate him with a passion. They just want him dead. What happened with this comedian, which is not a comedian at all, Kathy, whatever her name is, and she made a dummy head of Trump and all bloodied mm-hmm. up, you know, like he was decapitated. I mean, this is the kind of vitriol, the kind of hatred that they have towards this man. And all he's doing is really fighting for America, trying to do what is best for the country and not for the whole world, for the globalists. And, I believe, Stuart and Larry, that, like, and Larry and I have talked about this before, you know, that God is not a man. And, of course, a lot of Christians out there, they think that if God was going to do something like that, he would, he would use somebody else. He would use a moral Sunday school kind of a guy that, you know, was a goody two shoes, you know, that. But mm-hmm. God is not like that. God saw that this man, he was a fighter. He had like the spirit of not just Cyrus, he had like the spirit of Jehu.
Yes.
I mean, everybody knows that God raised up this guy, Jehu. Jehu was, I mean, nobody knew where this guy was or who this guy was. God raised him up because he saw something in Jehu that he said, this is the guy that is going to slay Jezebel. This is the guy that's going to get rid of Jezebel, in Israel. And nobody else is going to do it. They're all afraid of her. But Jehu, he's going to go in there. He's going to kill her. He's going to get rid of her because he's bold and he's fearless. And I think that's how God looked at Trump.
Trump.
He didn't see
yep.
him as a guy that is a womanizer and, you know, he has that kind of a background. He has a foul mouth. God didn't see him like that. God saw him as the guy, as the man that could take down Jezebel, Hillary Clinton, and the globalists and all this bunch of, corrupt politicians, you know, bloody. I mean, these people are the most vile, wicked, evil people that ever existed. These people have blood on their hands. These people are pedophiles. These people are human traffickers, murderers. I mean, you name it. These people are dirty, all the way through and through. And so it was not gonna get done by anybody. And God had to reach down and get this guy. And this is, unfortunately, what a lot of Christians just don't understand, that this guy is not, he wasn't put there to, to be a nice president or, a very polite president or, whatever. He was there to destroy Jezebel and to destroy Babylon, or the Babylonian system, really, which is what is forming in America, and it's still forming.
Yes.
But he was going to destroy. He's been set to destroy, to clean it out. And if the people pray, I believe the time has shifted. If the people pray, we may have those 2 years you mentioned, Stuart. And if people pray really hard, we may have a little more. I don't know.
Larry, what do you think?
Really interesting. Yeah, something that I was thinking about as you guys were talking, especially about the timeline changing and the time shift, and something I wanted to note and kind of get you guys' opinions on this, because you're in the same time frame that Augusto and you also, Stuart, noted some type of shift or some type of change in times and seasons or a literal time shift occur. If you'll remember, everybody was watching the incoming, as they said, the incoming destroyer and its entourage, which became very anomalous and suddenly really is unpredictable. And we don't even know why. We have no explanation. Even the people watching have no explanation why it slows down, speeds up, and then slows back down. And this could connect really into what Augusta was talking about the prayers of the saints and the change in the timeline. And at the same time, I watch earthquakes and volcanoes very, very closely. And for a while, we were looking at really sudden destruction all around the planet with the earthquakes activity and also the volcanoes that were raging. And not that they've decreased a lot, but there has been a lull, a year or year and a half lull in the real destructive volcanoes and destructive earthquake activity other than the minor ones. And nobody can explain this. Nobody can explain why the West Coast hadn't already gone into the sea. They predict it all the time. Nobody can explain, the Atlantic quakes, Iceland, the Canary Islands. All these were really ringing bells a couple of years ago, and then suddenly they quieten. And I wonder, and I'd like your guys' opinion, if this timeline shift did occur, did the shift also give a window of time to the planet away from not only the destroyer and its entourage arriving right on schedule, but we know that's in the Lord's hands, but also did it not give us a very anomalous time of activity of suns, the sunspot activity, which nobody can explain? I think we've been given a window, a lull, if you will, in the timeline for really God's people to finish their work or really for possibly the rest of the wheat to come in, and then the immediate swing into the Middle East to fulfill all the prophecies.
Yeah, Augusto. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree, Larry. I think you're right. I think that the harvest is going to come in, no doubt about that. And we know that the scenario that is depicted in the book of Revelation, we know those prophecies, we know they are going to happen, okay? That is fixed. That's not going to change. What has changed is the timeline, which is the way we get from point A to point B. And, there are many, many different timelines that will take us from point A to point B, and that is what has shifted. But we know in the end we're going to end up in point, there, in that scenario, where the planet X is going to destroy the planet Earth. Nibiru is going to destroy planet Earth, the destroyer, and we know that is going to happen in the book of Revelation. It talks about it, and we know there's going to be a harvest right before that takes place. We know all this is going to take place. We just thought it was going to happen sooner rather than later, and it has shifted. And this, any time we get a time shift like this, it's due to a divine intervention. And he has always existed in the scriptures. I just never looked at it like that through those lenses. I looked at it differently, through a different in a different way. But it has always been there. This has always existed. This is nothing new. Every time the Almighty intervenes in the affairs of man through a miracle, divine intervention, which is what happened during the election. Why do I say that? Because if you look at what happened during the election, both the winners and the losers, they were shocked. The Trump camp was in shock that he had won, and the Clinton camp was shocked that she had lost, and so were all the mainstream media. So everybody was in awe. Everybody was shocked. So whoever doesn't see the reality of a divine intervention here is blind. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that, you know, we once again saw the power of prayer, that prayer has the power to change the timelines. And we know from history that John Knox had a tremendous, well, he was a man of prayer. And I have read a little bit on him. And, you know, Mary, Queen of Scots, they called her Bloody Mary. She was a bloody woman, very, very full of wrath, very vindictive, very evil. And she feared this man. She feared John Knox. And there are some people that say she feared him more than all the combined armies of, you know, of her enemies. And so when we look at this and we saw the power that resided in the prayers of John Knox, and, of course, it's all over the Bible, we somehow have forgotten, or at least, you know, we had forgotten. I know now, but we had forgotten the power there is in prayer. And so now God's people are beginning to awaken, if you will. It's like the sleeping giant is slowly, the slumbering sleeping giant is slowly beginning to stir and beginning to realize that he has been asleep all this time. And if the giant manages to rise up to its, you know, to its potential, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't happened yet, but it's stirring. The giant is stirring. And we just saw a little bit, we just caught a little glimpse of that. There was a man, a missionary, I think his name was Hicks. I think it was a missionary to Argentina back in the 50s, I think it was. And he had a vision of the end times, and that's what the Lord showed him. He showed him this giant, you know, which represents the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, that you know, it was sleeping, it was dirty, it was covered with imps, with demons, and he was, you know, he was bound, he was all bound, and God showed him that vision, and he said that he slowly saw how the giant began to stir, and began to, you know, wake up, and he began to shake himself off all these imps that were tormenting him and on top of him, and he rose up, and this man Hicks says that when that giant stood up, he shone with the glory of heaven, and then he said that's when the harvest happened, that's when the harvest took place. But then he said after that, then he said that's when the end came, and that's when destruction came on upon the earth. Yeah, it's a very interesting vision, very interesting vision, way back in Argentina. You know, he is, you know, the story goes that he was the man that God used to start the Argentine revival. I think it's Jim Hicks. I may be wrong about the first name, but I know his last name is Hicks. And so this was a tremendous time shift, I believe. I really do pray and hope that God's people will not lose this moment, because, Trump just took the United States out of the Paris Treaty, which everybody thought it was impossible. Well, he did it. He brought the U.S. out of the TPP. Everybody thought it was impossible. He did it. So God is using this guy like a Jehu to slay the Jezebel, and he needs the prayers of people,
yes.
If you don't like him, and I'll just say to the people out there, if you don't like him, you don't think he is this and that, whatever, just trust me, just pray for him, because if he is taken out, if the enemy takes him out, I really know this, Stuart. God has really given me glimpses here and there of this. If he is taken out, it's over forever. It's over.
Yes.
This is really over.
Yep. Well, it's interesting too with your time shift, because it says the Antichrist arrives on the scene at the appointed time. In other words, that's a time that's set by a divine decree. Do you suppose that humanity, and particularly those communists in America, were moving a little too fast, so the Lord deliberately threw a monkey wrench into their works by the name of Donald Trump? Do you think that's what happened?
Well, I think so. I think... You can call it a monkey wrench too, if you want to do that. I think it's much more than that. I think that the whole thing was shifted. Everything was shifted. We were going in one direction, and now we're not going in that direction anymore. And I had a very strange dream, Stuart and Larry. I think it was maybe a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. Very, very strange dream. And I didn't know what it was about. And I was like in a stadium. I think it may have been a baseball stadium. I'm not 100%. But it was a stadium. It was a sports event. And they were going to sing the national anthem at that sports event. And I was there. I was sitting there, like everybody else. But when they started singing the national anthem, it was not the U.S. national anthem. It was the British national anthem, and it was really beautiful. The song that was, and I knew in my spirit it was the British national anthem, and then I woke up and. I really had no clue what that meant. But, that was about 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And since that happened, look what has taken place. England has just left the EU through Brexit. And the U.S. basically has also left. Basically, the U.S. has left the EU as well, because the U.S. was being brought into the EU, whether people realize it or not. We were being turned into that same system, a globalist system. So England and the U.S. are out. And so now that dream is making a little bit more sense to me.
Larry, what do you think?
Oh, it's incredible. Stuart, this may be a good time. You had mentioned it earlier about talking to Augusto or getting Augusto to explain about the similarity that he sees from the Cuban Revolution and Batista and the Castros and the what you would call the communist coup that seems to be operating in America today.
Yeah, Augusto, nobody on TV will call it what it is. They call it the progressive. They call it the left. but it's actually the communists. And it's operating predominantly, I think, probably through the United Nations would be my guess as their chief headquarters, because the United Nations operates under a communist charter. Would you tell the folks what you went through so that they understand what is happening in America? Larry and I have been trying to educate them that this really is a communist Marxist coup. And if they're successful, as you have already said, look out. We're done. This is it.
Yes. It is a communist, but I would say it is a different animal. It is a little different animal. I think this globalist system that they're trying to implement is got the element of the of communism in it, socialism,
right.
Communism. It's the same thing. It's got the element of imperialism in it, and also fascism. So it is
yes. It
is a little more deadly, I think, and very deceptive. But like for example, this treaty, that Trump took the U.S. out of yesterday.
Yes.
Basically, what that treaty is about, it's got nothing to do with, clean air and clean water, and global warming slowing it. It's got nothing to do with that. What it's got to do with is, destroying the economy in the U.S. and giving the money to the other country. In other
yes.
words, spreading the wealth. And which is the basic tenet of socialism and communism,
mm-hmm.
but of course that would affect us, little people, the big shots, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergs, those kinds of people, they wouldn't even feel it, and it's the same
yes.
in Cuba, Castro came preaching the same gospel. The gospel of equality, everybody would be the same, and there would be no big I's and little U's and all that, and the people bought it, the people swallowed that line, hook and sinker, and believed him. He was a very good salesman, had a lot of charisma, he was very very good as a speaker. A lot of people thought he was the Antichrist, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoever the Antichrist is, he's got to be a tremendous speaker. A tremendous speaker. He has to be the kind of speaker that mesmerizes the people. And Obama was like that. Obama
yes.
had that quality. Castro had that quality. Others had that quality. Hitler had that quality. Not many have that quality. So not just anybody just cannot be the Antichrist. The Antichrist has to be able to fit that bill. It's not enough with some of the other things. He has to be able to be a very persuasive a speaker, very suave, very charismatic, that he's able to talk like that. So anyway, Castro, he came in and he came preaching communism, and everybody would be equal, and the people believed him. He came down from Sierra Maestra, and he took down a very corrupt politician. A very corrupt leader, a president. There was Batista before him.
Mm-hmm.
He was no saint. The man was bad, but he was better than Castro. At least during Batista's regime, people could leave Cuba, come back in. They could take money. They could take their belongings, do whatever they want. They could open a business, whatever. They had that freedom. As long as they did not criticize the government and went after the government, or was, as long as they stayed to themselves, they had no problems. Castro came, and he promised liberty. He promised freedom. But actuality was he took every bit of freedom away. And that was, of course, when, by the time that he said he was a communist, and that was probably, I think it was in 1960, by then it was too late. It was too late. And the people had already fallen in the trap. And he had taken all the guns from the people. He was saying, armas para qué? In other words, why do we need weapons? Why do people need weapons? We don't need weapons. And so he disarmed the people, really, the few, because not many people in Cuba had weapons. It's not like America. But the few that did, he persuaded them that they didn't need weapons. And so everybody was disarmed. That nobody had weapons. And they fell in the trap. And then he went in for the kill. And the domination was complete. Many people say, why didn't the Cuban people revolt? Well, they couldn't revolt. How are they going to revolt? They tried. There were some that started planting bombs, but it was just a very small disturbances here and there. It was nothing major. They were eventually imprisoned, and some of them executed. It was impossible. It was impossible. And so Castro went for the kill. He basically put committees of the revolution in every block. He put two, one on each side of the street. And and so those people were responsible to spy on everyone else. If you brought any packages into your home, suspicious, in their opinion, they would come the next day and check you out and ask you questions. If you brought any visitors into your home, some people that maybe had never come to your home, they had never seen, they would come and question you who they are. Who are these people? What's their names? Where do they live? And, the people in Cuba came to the point where they were afraid to talk to each other. They talk to each other in whispers. Okay? I was a kid. I was like 9 or 10, 11 when I experienced all this. And I was just curious and blown away at the way people were speaking in whispers, because they could be overheard. We used to live right next to a store, which was also like a bar. And people used to go there drinking, and the man and playing their games, and so one day I saw the police car arrive there, and apprehend all those guys that were there, because while they were drinking, they would get a little happy, and their tongues would get loosed, and they would start criticizing Castro and talking against Castro, and they were reported. And the police came, put them in their police cars, and took them to headquarters. And I never saw them again. I never saw those guys again. And I saw many things like that. And my mom and dad, my mother especially, she stopped sending me to school because of the horrific indoctrination that they were doing in the schools, the school system. They were basically just, so the people have an idea, they would take the children in the schools, and then they would, the teacher would come to the children and say, close your eyes, everyone close your eyes, and then they would say, okay, I want you to pray to God to give you ice cream, okay? So the teacher said, okay, ready? He said, yeah. I said, okay, pray this prayer. Dear God, please give me ice cream. Okay? And then the teacher would say, okay, open your eyes. And there was no ice cream, of course. So, little children, they didn't know any better. So the little children started you know, oh, now complaining. Oh, no ice cream. So the teacher said, okay, don't worry, children, don't worry. Fidel is going to give you ice cream. Okay, now close your eyes again. They would close their eyes. And now the teacher would say, all right, let's pray again and ask Fidel for ice cream. You ready? So while she was doing this, the other teachers, okay, the older helpers, were moving around placing little cups of ice cream, one for each child in the classroom. And the teacher would say, okay, pray like this. Dear Fidel, please give us some ice cream. The children would repeat it. And then the teacher would say, okay, open your eyes. And, of course, they opened their eyes, and there was the ice cream. And, you know, this is how they indoctrinated the children. My mother found out what they were doing, and she vowed never to send me to school after that. And so she took me out of the school system. And when she took me out of the school system, also it affected everything else, because if your child does not go to school, your child is disqualified from drinking milk, from buying milk, no milk for children. The children were not allowed to get, you know, the regular quota that they're given, you know, for butter and milk and things like that. If you're not a child in Cuba, you can't have access to those things. Okay, it's only for children. But since I was not in school, I didn't have access to that. So that ended my milk and my. So I wasn't too happy about that. But you know, and then they started giving rations for food, because by that time the U.S. started the embargo, and you know, there was no more commerce between the U.S. and Cuba, and the U.S. You know, started the embargo. First, they did the blockade, and even, you know, after that was the embargo. But anyway, there was nothing coming from the U.S. and there was nothing coming in from any of the other countries in Central America and South America. Everybody stopped doing commerce with Cuba. The only country that I believe was doing commerce with Cuba was Spain, and then Russia. And the Soviet Union and the other, the bloc, you know, the Soviet bloc. And so that was it. And so there was no meat, no chicken, and so rations. Everybody had rations. Everybody received. It's something similar to what happened here in the U.S. during the, you know, during the Great Depression, but it was worse in Cuba. You know, here at least there were farmers and so forth. It was much worse in Cuba, and so I don't remember like. I don't really remember how many times a month we ate meat, chicken. I think maybe once or twice a month. No meat, no beef. It was zero. No milk. And so in Cuba, basically, you know, fish, people would be able to get fish. You know, there's a lot of good fish in Cuba. So that was about the only protein there that was available, that and you had to pay good money for it. And rice, you know, things like that, but that's about it. And so that is how life in Cuba was since Castro came into power. And so all the promises, all the lies that it was all lies. There was no improvement. Everybody was desperate. There was no freedom. And so, you know, Castro had, you know, anything he wanted. The people in power, the elite in Cuba.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Cuba had also an elite. The elite in Cuba, they had no such problems. They had no such problems. They had abundance. Castro had a pool. He had milk. All the milk he wanted, all the beef, the meat, whatever he wanted, he had it. Same with his people. So this is the system of communism, okay? Whenever people hear about communism and its equality, okay, that they want to level the playing field, okay, basically is what they're doing. They want to take down the U.S. They wanted to basically bring the U.S. down to the same level as all the third world countries. Well, basically, they wanted to do that with this country, not them. Okay, they will stay living in their palaces and in their, in their affluence, flying in their jets. You know, why don't all these people that are talking about this global, warming and all this, why don't they stop flying in their private jets?
Yeah.
See?
If they
really want to have an impact, all of them should stop flying in their private jets. All of these Hollywood actors and politicians, why don't they stop doing that? But no, you see, because they are, it's not for them. Those rules are not for them. It's for the rest of us. See? And so this is the globalism. This is the globalists. This is the way the globalists look at everything. See? One rule for us and one rule for them. All these people that they talk all this talk, about distributing wealth, America needs to be, think about other nations. America thinks about other nations. America has always helped other nations. But
yes.
What they want to do is take away what America has, give it to others, and then America won't have anything else to give, which is what happened in Cuba. You see? Because when you take what the people had in Cuba, okay, people had good businesses in Cuba. People had, there were some wealthy people in Cuba. They had businesses. They employed a lot of people. But if you take that away from those people, then there will be no more employment for anybody else. Everybody will have nothing then, you see. And this is what communism does. This is the mentality of socialism and communism. And this is what they wanted to implement here in America. See, they wanted to take the jobs away. They wanted to burden the whole country with laws that would cripple the economy, the emissions, and this and that. It would destroy. See, with the Obamacare, insurance policies, $600-800 a month that nobody could pay. And then when you finally go to the doctor, you cannot take care of the problem because your deductible is like $1,000? So, it's worthless.
Yeah.
Or more. So the insurance policy is worthless. It's totally worthless. And so now Trump wants to take away, and then the people say, he doesn't care for the people. You see, this is the mentality. This is the propaganda that we're dealing with. And it is 24/7, every day, 7 days a week, continuously. And if the people, and I was telling somebody today that if God's people, okay, and the conservatives in America, don't stand up, don't begin to pray, and don't begin to speak up like they should, these people are not going to stop. They're going to fight. And they're going to try to take everything you got. They're going to try to take your children away, turn them into, homos, transsexuals or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to indoctrinate your children into witchcraft, into Muslims, whatever. They want to take your children. This is what they wanted to do in Cuba. They wanted to take the children away from the parents, indoctrinate the children to their form of belief, their way of thinking. This is what they want to do here. But like I said before, this is worse, Stuart and Larry, because at least Castro was not teaching the children to be transsexuals. This is what they're teaching here, the children. This is way, way worse. And if the people don't wake up and start backing this man that God put there as a Jehu to tear down this ungodliness, if they get to this man, if they get to Trump, they manage to take him down, you can kiss goodbye, everything. I mean, we're talking about not just our lives because, we're already old, but our children and our children's children and our children's children. I really don't even want to. I don't even want to speculate what that would be like.
Yeah. How far along do you think? I've often thought that probably the majority of Americans are now sort of communist or at least socialist, but they're not aware that that's what they are, that they've bought into all of this handout business without realizing what's really happening. Would you think that was a truism, or am I going too far with that?
No, I think you are. No, I think you're right. I think you're onto something. Because the majority of Americans don't know what socialism or communism is, just like they don't know what Muslims is. I mean, all these women that are defending the radical Muslims and ISIS, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They have to be taken and dropped there in those countries, okay, Muslim country, and live there for at least a year so they get an idea what it is that they're talking about. They're ignorant. They don't know what they're talking about. The same with the socialists in this country. They have to be taken to a place like Cuba, a place like North Korea or China, and dropped there and left there for at least a year or more so that they are able to experience firsthand what it is to live in a communist society. And only then maybe will they be able to understand what it is and to be able to better judge it. Because right now they just can't. All these Hollywood elites, they have no idea. They're just a bunch of ignorant people. They just have no idea. They have always been wealthy. They don't know what lack is. They don't know what persecution is. So how can they appreciate liberty if they don't know what it is not to live without it? You see? So
yes.
they don't appreciate it because they have never been without it. So I have come to the understanding that you can only appreciate what the only way you can do that is if you have ever been without it. If you have lived without it, then you appreciate it. If someone has lived without freedom, then they can appreciate what freedom is. They love it. They respect it. They protect it. They defend it. If somebody has never lived in that type of a situation, it's impossible for them to really be able to love it and to defend it. And this is what I believe that America needs to wake up to. They need to realize that, you know, what they have here in this country, they could lose it very easily. We almost lost it. We almost lost it. And people don't realize how close we came to losing it. And
I was going to say, if Hillary had won, it would already be over probably, don't you think? Larry, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I think, as Augusto said, that would have kind of sealed our doom. You know, I'll tell you what, I don't see many people in America recently moving to the communist paradise in Venezuela, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nightmare there. I met this guy when I was in Ecuador this last year. My wife and I went there, and I was talking to a Venezuelan and his son that had just arrived there from Venezuela, and we were invited to have dinner in this home, and he started telling me the horrors that they're facing over there firsthand. And it's the same as Cuba. Same as Cuba. Maybe worse. And again, it's a communist system, the same communist system.
So what do you think is coming here? Let's say the Lord does tarry, and let's say that Trump is removed, how would you portray then what would happen right here in America that people just can't believe could ever happen here?
Well, this is the way I see it, Stuart, and this is what the people need to understand, because, you know, the American Christians are very naive in certain ways. And like, for example, many American Christians believe that, you know, America needs to be destroyed, you know, and judgment has to come, but they don't realize what they're saying. Because if judgment, if when we talk about judgment and destruction, we talk about the end, I want it to come today, right now. Okay? I want it. I want it more than anybody. I want Jesus to come back, if that is what we're talking about. However, if that is not what we're talking about, and the Lord delays his coming, say another 10, 15, 20 years, I don't know. What we are talking about here, Stuart and Larry, is an extended period of time where it's going to be total misery, like in Cuba. See, the end didn't come to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
See? A lot of Christians in Cuba thought it was the end, that Castro was the Antichrist. Castro was not the Antichrist. He was a type of the Antichrist. And the end did not come. The end came for freedom in Cuba. But the end, the return of Jesus, didn't take place. What happened was over 50 years of bondage and slavery. And that is what I am concerned that may happen in America. Again, if when America is judged, okay, if that is going to bring in the return of the Lord, I am all for it. Sign me up today. Okay? I want Jesus to come. But on the other hand, this is the other scenario. If that does not bring the coming of the Lord, and he tarries, and America is brought into bondage, into captivity, we are talking about a total miserable existence without freedom, without food, living in horrific conditions. Maybe those concentration camps where the people will be taken, just like in Cuba. In Cuba, they didn't have concentration camps because there was not as many people as here, but they had those prisons, and that's where they took the dissidents. They took the dissidents to those big prisons. There was one in Havana, a very, very large one called El Morro, and they would, it was one of the oldest fortresses there. And they would take the prisoners there and lock them up and throw the keys away. And they would be there 10, 15, 20, 30 years there until they died. Their families never saw them again. And, this is what could happen in America. And the same thing. So what a lot of Christians don't understand is they see the judgment of America as the end, and Jesus is coming. And again, I say, if that is what he's going to be, sign me up. But that may not be what it is. And America may be judged, but Jesus may still not come back for a while. And then what we're going to be in for is a heap of trouble. Like they say, we're going to be in for a heap of trouble.
So it would be a virtual police state. You were saying that they selected out certain people to spy on everybody else. And, of course, as Larry knows, they have these fusion centers set up now all over the place. We had the Jade Helm military exercises going on in 2015, and I think they did again in 2016. So FEMA camps evidently are ready for business, as Hillary said, you know, joy camps. Everybody has to go there to be reeducated and learn. So they were, it appears to me, ready. And had she been reelected, is it your take that those things would probably already be in full operation? And a delay caused that?
Oh, I believe so. I don't know if Larry, I know Larry believes the same thing. I mean, I know it would be so, because they were already passing laws before Obama left office. See, Obama thought that Hillary was going to slip right in, right after him. They had this thing sewn up, and it was going to be seamless transition, and she was going to not only keep his policies in place, but even, you know, go even further. She was going to open up the floodgates. The Muslims were going to come in. I mean, they were going to flood this country with Muslims, just like Europe, so that we would have a culture of fear, a culture of chaos, a culture of terror. And then, you know, when these people would do their thing, you know, then that would give them the excuse to bring in the police state, you know, and take total control over an area with the excuse, you know, they had to put down the insurrection, you know, blah, 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 whatever. That is that is what they wanted to do. And then everybody that revolted, taken to a FEMA camp. And then they were in total control, and everything was clamped down, total control of the country. That is, see, that is what they want, what they're trying to do. I mean, what other reason could there be? Why are they doing this to Europe and allowing the bombings and the terrorism? And they do nothing. They say, no, we have to adapt. We have to get used to it. Are you serious? What kind of statement is that from the politicians, from the people that rule the country, that we have to get used to that kind of stuff? I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse, I think. What do you think, Larry?
Oh, absolutely. I'm shocked. I guess I shouldn't be, but I'm so shocked that Europe, the different, well, there used to be sovereign nations, but now, of course, you know, they're all members of the EU, ruled over by the elite, a hierarchy. And they passed the rules down to the people, and I'm shocked, though, that there haven't been a revolution of the people. But, of course, the Brexit is a type of revolution, and of course, there are a lot of people now, even from England, saying that the Trump win was a type of a revolution operating here. Now, let me read something real interesting and get you guys' opinion, because, Barry, you know, we know what's going on against Trump right now. We know that he was welcomed in the places he went. He was welcomed in Saudi Arabia, and we know that was really just phenomenal, because he was able to fly from Riyadh straight to Israel, which has never happened before. And then he was in Israel, went to the Vatican, Rome, the Vatican, etc. But we know what he came back to America in was a full coup mode that was going on. Now, Barry Rothman today, June the 2nd, ran a two quick Tor codes, and he named it Senator Schumer Wants a Coup or Impeachment. Now, I'll read the first four. The first, and this is under construction as I speak, but the first Tor code that Barry Rothman ran had the words Trump coup, Russian, Comey, Schumer. And then he ran another Tor code that has eight words, and they are Trump coup, Schumer, impeachment, Russian, Comey, Putin, all the assembly murmured against. And, of course, that almost sounds like a similar time. It sounds like two similar timelines.
Yes.
And so on one hand, you've got a coup, and on the other hand, you've got a coup and an impeachment. And what do you think, Augusto? That's the newest code from Barry Rothman out of the Torah.
Yeah, that is what they're planning, to impeach Trump within 6 months and, you know, to take him out. They're trying to find something. I mean, it reminds me of when, you know, I used to go fishing, and I would throw the line in the water. I was just hoping I would snag some fish, and I was just hoping I would catch something. This is what they're doing. They're probing to, you know, hopefully find something. They don't know what, but, you know, they came up with this collusion thing, you know, which is totally ridiculous. But anyways, they're going at it, and, you know, they're just trying to find something, you know. They have been basically told by the, you know, the commissars there, you know, their bosses, the puppeteers, that, you know, they need to find something. They need to find anything to get take this guy out. If it is that, you know, that he tried to force Comey into dropping an investigation, which is ridiculous because he never did, or he was colluding with the Russians, which is totally ridiculous. They have already, many have already denied it. The, you know, Clapper denied it, and the Comey said no, there had, nothing has been found. So, I mean, they haven't found anything. They've been looking at this thing now for, what, over a year, and they haven't found anything. But they're going to keep on looking until they find something or invent something or something. And so they want to impeach him, and if they cannot find anything, I really believe that they're going to try to just take him out, you know, just make him have a dirt nap. And, you know, what this woman did, Griffin, with his severed head, I mean, when you start seeing that kind of stuff being done regarding the president of the United States,
yeah,
that is serious. That is serious. The other thing I just want to comment, and I want to have you guys' opinion on it, Stuart and you, Larry, is isn't this the kind of the same kind of thing that started, you know, the fact that, you know, some states didn't want to submit to the president, like California and the West Coast. They don't want anything to do with the president. They say, we're not going to submit to the president. We're not going to submit to his laws. Isn't this the same type of thing that started the Civil War?
Yes. Actually, it is. In fact, there was a Russian scientist and several, and Larry knows them better than I do because he studied that Norwegian prophet. But there's been several people, and I think even maybe Dmitry Dudeman, and there was a Russian scientist who wrote a long article about the breakup of the United States, that it was going to literally break apart, divide and conquer. And it would be into four or five different sections. Do you remember that, Larry?
Oh, absolutely. One of the most classic, almost 100 years ago, Anton Johansson, the Norwegian seer, that predicted World War I, World War II, even where the battles would be fought, and even predicted the sinking of the Titanic. You know, he said that America would go into a second Civil War scenario and literally break up into four or five different what he called nation states. And, of course, the Balkans hadn't happened yet, but that's basically the same scenario that happened in the Balkans, I guess, that region, you know, under NATO, same type scenario. So, and Dmitry Dudeman, he indicated the same thing and the same type of a revolution, civil war type scenario. There's been a number of people, you know, talking in that direction. And, of course, strongholds right now of the left basically is the West Coast, which is Washington, Oregon, I suppose, California especially, New York, you know, those locations. And what's odd, if you think about what Red Elk and a number of other people, Henry Gruber and others, the landing of the attacks in a you know, an attack on the U.S. literally began in those regions where the people want to break away from a central government run by someone like Osiris.
Well, the thing that also concerns me here, you know, and we were talking about the time shift and the shift in time. You know, we are, it seems we have been placed in a different timeline because we did not get Hillary Clinton. We got Donald Trump. He is a nationalist. You know, he's America first. Okay. And that's all good. That's so far so good. However, We know what we, you know, in Obama, Obama was basically, you know, he was not a wartime president. He didn't like war. He kept the U.S. out of war. That one thing he did. And he left North Korea alone. He didn't mess with North Korea. He didn't challenge China in the South Seas, and he definitely didn't mess with Trump. But Donald Trump, not with Trump, with Putin. He didn't mess with Putin. But Donald Trump is not the same. He is a hands-on type of guy. And he is, well, look what's going on with North Korea. North Korea and the U.S. are on the brink of going to war. There are three naval fleets right there right now. And so the U.S. is beefing up its anti-missile system. It just put one missile system in South Korea, anti-missile system, and it put another anti-missile system in I think is in Alaska, and there near the Arctic, and so they're beefing up. They're getting ready for something, and we are in a very dangerous position there because the timeline has shifted. But you know, whereas the timeline shifted for good in many areas, it may have shifted for worse. In another area, which is the war with Korea, we are facing this now. I don't think we would have faced that if Obama had stayed in power, at least not right now. But we are facing that now with Korea. So, you know, the timeline shift, although it's helped in some area, in certain areas, it may cause problems in other areas. And so this is where prayer needs to be applied to that as well, because I don't know. I just don't see any way out of this, North Korea. I don't see how the U.S. can leave North Korea alone. I just don't see how they can just say, okay, let's talk, let's make peace, and you keep building your missiles, because they will have the missiles ready to go, the ICBMs I'm talking about, the ones that can hit the West Coast and even Washington, D.C. from North Korea. They can probably have that in a year or two. And so we're not going to get out of this. So it's either now or later. But we're going to have to go to war with North Korea and probably China and maybe even Russia. So this is a very dangerous situation.
Yeah. What was interesting, I just read an article, Larry, maybe you can confirm it, that the carrier Nimitz has now just left to join the others in by Japan. And a bunch of cruisers, I think, have left. Is that true?
Yeah, that's very true. That's true. They're stopping off in San Diego. And then they're on their way. So more and more assets. And as you both of you guys know, you can't drill. This is not how you do drills. We're preparing. This is preps. As Augusta was saying, you know, we put missile batteries, in Alaska now, and I think in California, and also we have missile cruisers supposedly around Hawaii, Guam, and we put the THAAD systems in South Korea. I think we gave a system to Japan. And as we speak, two carrier groups and the Japanese, and I believe the South Koreans too, are doing naval drills off the Korean Peninsula. So this is not a drill. The money going into this, the preps that's going into this, the preparations, this is like you getting ready for a World War II ahead of a Pearl Harbor. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
I
agree.
Augusto, there are ties between North Korea and Iran. Do you think that an attack on Korea would be the thing to to go into Daniel 8 and the prophecies of a sudden attack from Iran to its neighbors? Do you think that scenario is quite possible?
I think it is. I think it is possible. We know North Korea has, has dealings with Iran, and with China, and China has dealings with Iran. So yeah, I totally believe that that could be part of the matrix there. We know that everybody talks about Syria, but Iran is really in the same boat with North Korea. They may be even helping each other. North Korea, for all we know, may be helping. China through North Korea may be helping Iran with their nuclear, with their nuclear development program. And so this just doesn't look good for the U.S. Down the road. I don't know if we are there yet. Of course, North Korea does not have the nukes on the ICBMs yet. Neither does Iran, but I think we give that a year or two at most, and we are there. I think we are going to be in a heap of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any chance that they are much more advanced than we're being told?
I think so. At least North Korea seems to be way ahead of what a lot of U.S. military thought. They seem to be developing the technology themselves. They seem to be building these missiles themselves now, instead of having to depend on China or Russia. They are doing it themselves. So that presents another problem. They're not able to produce them, and now they're saying they're going to produce them in mass. So if the U.S. is going to do something, if Trump is going to do something, he's going to have to do it sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
To have a chance of making it through this.
Larry, you and I saw a notice up here, or we heard of one. I didn't actually see it, but a friend of ours, Art, did see it, and you went to several meetings where they were talking about survival after a major, I guess, an EMP attack. Was that what that was about, do you think? So if they were talking about possible loss of communications, loss of a lot of things, actually, why would they suddenly be concerned about this? Because this is evidently happening all over the United States, but it's been very, very quiet, very subtle, and little notices appear in the newspaper about meetings, and they're usually conducted either by Homeland Security or FEMA. Have you heard any more about that sort of thing?
Well, those meetings are still going on, and they're gathering ham, the folks with hams, ham radio, and talking about protection from EMPs and how hams can operate after an EMP, using emergency power sources and technology, and link in local regions. Whom they're linked, have already linked in to FEMA centers to provide,
mm-hmm.
so that to have the availability to provide information in the field directly to FEMA headquarters after an EMP, and they're very concerned about EMPs and the North Koreans. And of course, we have to watch for an EMP possibly from China or Russia also, but the North Koreans, I think, seem to be the pivot point of this thing, and I believe they're expecting something. I don't really believe it's the sun, an EMP from the sun, that they're worried about at the moment. I think they're worried about a North Korean EMP over America.
Well, we do know they have those two satellites, and there are scientists who think possibly those are EMP devices that could be detonated over the United States anytime they chose to, if that's what they are. Have you heard anything about that down there?
By the way, I sent you, Stuart and Larry, an article with the name of the man I was talking about. Someone just sent it to me. His name is Tom Hicks. Tommy Hicks, Division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent that to you guys. You should have.
Well, thank you. What do you think about this EMP stuff that's going on? Have you heard anything down there in Florida about little meetings or anything like that going on?
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. It's possible he has EMP capabilities, no doubt. However, this is just going to get worse and worse. I just don't see how Trump is going to handle it. This thing, if the people knew how close we are to a nuclear holocaust, they would leave this guy alone, Trump, to be able to take care of business. He's got a lot of business to take care of, and this thing with North Korea is pressing hard, and that needs to be taken care of. Now, I think we only got like 3 minutes left, Stuart, right?
Yeah. Yep. What's on your heart? What do you want to tell the people, Gusto?
I tell them, make sure you have your ducks in order. Make sure that you're close to Jesus. Make sure that you're at peace with God. And keep praying. Keep praying. Prayer is the only thing that is going to help us. And, of course, we got this big event coming up in September. So we don't know what that is going to lead us into. But a lot of things are going to happen this summer. So stay close to Jesus and take care and keep your eyes open.
Yeah. Have you heard any more about, I know you had that vision of a tsunami coming in from the East Coast. Have you heard any more about that impact event that was to take place down there in Puerto Rico before we close?
No, I have not heard anything else about that.
Well, Larry, what would your final parting words be?
Well, mine would be similar to Augusto's, and I often wonder if the timeline changed just a little bit. The Puerto Rican impact event, or that region, that could also be in a delay fashion mode for the moment, depending on the timeline.
You're right. Maybe the whole thing has been delayed. I mean, the Bible does over and over again speak about a delay, that there is going to be a delay. It says the vision will come, but it's going to tarry. Though the vision tarry, it shall come. So we obviously must be in some sort of, as Augusto wrote in his article, some sort of a time shift, alternative spinoff, and it's getting ready. How long, I guess nobody knows. I've often wondered about this. Yeah, go ahead.
No, nobody knows, Stuart. And again, this timeline shift depends on how people behave from now on. If we continue in prayer, we continue in repentance, we continue, or people begin to slack off and go back to sleep. So it all depends on that.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder what's really happened to the American people. I don't think I've ever seen a more apostate or a kind of a comatose people. You know, they seem interested only in their sports. They're mad upon their idols, and they just can't give any time or at all to the Lord. In truth, it doesn't appear that way. What say
there
you,
are two
Larry?
Americas. There are two Americas,
yes.
Stuart and Larry.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know. You told to pray for your leaders, and that definitely includes Trump and Pence, and we hope that the healing will continue. But if it doesn't, folks out there, all hell is going to break loose, really. And we probably can't even imagine the horrific nature of what's coming if Trump is deposed, so to speak. Anyway, thank everybody for coming on. Thank you, Augusto. Thanks, Larry. And we'll see you again. So good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye, Larry. Bye-bye, Stuart.